From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Arrowgate, full on. Can he stick with him? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Ali Dar and Affirm battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner, Barnett Bird, closing a late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, the show that launched a network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, ready to roll for the next couple of hours, and happy to have you with me. Everybody tuning in throughout North America on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201, and all of you tuned in on our affiliates in Lexington, in Louisville, and across the country. Happy to have you with me for the next couple of hours as we begin to... well, pick up the pace, if you will, heading down the road to the first Saturday in May. Now just 105 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 15 seconds until the Run for the Roses, May 2nd at Churchill Downs. 105 days. We're going to dip down under 100 days to the Kentucky Derby when I open the show next Saturday. Think about that. And you do have a pretty big Derby prep race today. The LeCompte Stakes is the only points race, 10 points to the winner. The LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds is the big one. 14 three-year-olds all eventually hoping to wear the roses, going to try to take that first step on the road to Louisville later this afternoon. And it's interesting, when you look at the LeCompte, and for those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I'm kind of a stickler for research, and I love to dive into little things when I start talking about different races for our broadcast. Well, I did that this morning for the LeCompte too. And do you realize that no winner of the LeCompte Stakes has ever gone on to win the Kentucky Derby? So maybe you don't want to win that race today. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't even want to run in it, as a matter of fact, because the LeCompte has only produced one Derby winner. And you say, well, how's that possible? You just said no horse has ever won the LeCompte and won the Derby. In 2002, Steve Asmussen saddled the winner of the race, Easy from the Get-Go. Remember him? Easy from the Get-Go, son of DeHare, won the race narrowly. But the horse that finished fifth in the LeCompte that year would eventually go on and be the Derby winner in 2002. War Emblem. For Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, fifth in the LeCompte, first on the first Saturday in May. The only horse ever to come out of the LeCompte and win the Kentucky Derby. And when you think about the LeCompte, which, by the way, Steve Asmussen has a couple of chances to pick up another win in the LeCompte later today, too. When you think about the LeCompte and you think about the history of the race, I found this fascinating. There's an interesting tie to this year's field, at least one contender in this year's field, that goes back to the naming of the race in some respects. And let me explain what I mean. LeCompte was the son of a horse named Boston, who was in the Racing Hall of Fame. Boston was pretty good. Boston won 40 of 45 career starts. LeCompte is probably best known, however, as the only horse to defeat eventual horse racing Hall of Famer, Lexington, when they competed against each other in the mid-1800s. Lexington won 6 of 7 lifetime starts, and you say, okay, what's he in the Hall of Fame for? Well, probably more importantly, he would leave a lasting legacy as a stallion. He would go on to be the leading sire in North America 16 times. That's remarkable. One of the horses he produced so many good ones, but one of them went by the name of Preakness. And as you know, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown named in his honor. So here's where things get interesting, and here's where the tie-in to this year's LeCompte comes into play. When Lexington began his racing career, he was actually named Darley. He would eventually end up being sold after a couple of starts, and his new owners would rename him Lexington. You say, well, what does that have to do with this year's field? Well, Eddie Keneally, who, by the way, is going to be with me later on, second half of the program, around 9:20 Eastern time. Eddie Keneally saddles a horse by the name of Scabbard in today's LeCompte. Scabbard did not begin his racing career last summer by the name of Scabbard. He was originally named Noose, and he was named Noose when he broke his maiden at first asking last year. But because of some controversy over that name, he's been renamed Scabbard. Now, he hasn't been as successful. That's his only win, that maiden win. He hasn't been as successful as a horse like Lexington. But if he can become half the sire that Lexington was when he finishes his racing career, the future looks pretty bright for Scabbard. But for now, he's just got his sights set on trying to get past that LeCompte Stakes today. And as I told you, maybe you don't want to win that race. Hasn't been a good position to be in if your main goal is the Kentucky Derby. You could argue that last year's winner maybe should have won the Kentucky Derby had he not been interfered with at the top of the stretch. That's War of Will. Mark Cassie sent War of Will to the post last year, picked up his first win in the LeCompte. War of Will, as we know, would have success in the Preakness last year. And Mark Cassie is back again with a couple of chances in this year's LeCompte, and he's going to be with me later in the program as well. Mark will be with me right around 9:40 Eastern time. So we're going to talk a lot of three-year-old racing today. Didn't do much of that on the program last week, so we'll make it up to you this week. We'll talk about that. Of course, you have the Silver Bullet Day down at the fairgrounds as well, which is for the three-year-old fillies. Let's not forget about them making their way toward the first Friday in May in the Kentucky Oaks. But when you think about horses like Lexington that have left their name and their mark on the sport, on the stallion side of things, you start thinking about some of the major stud farms that we have in the sport. And Airdrie Stud is certainly one of them. Brett Jones, his father Brereton, boy, they just do a tremendous job out there. And our Stallion Spotlight segment this week, which comes your way in just about 7 or 8 minutes from right now, focuses on the Airdrie Stallions. And so many good ones, so many young, up-and-coming sires that are just getting started with their careers standing at Airdrie Stud. And I'm going to be joined by Cormac Brennick from Airdrie coming up in just a few minutes to tell us more about those stallions. I told you that Eddie Keneally would be here at 9:20. 9:40, it'll be Mark Cassie. Of course, we've got our Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. And then I'm going to visit with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Strips, the man who co-founded Flair Strips. He'll be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern time. You know, looking ahead to next weekend's Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup turf, of course, we'll be there. All your exclusive coverage right here on radio, 4 to 6 Eastern next Saturday afternoon. Make sure you join me, Bobby Newman, and Dan Mason. We'll be live from Gulfstream Park. But the Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup turf both being run medication-free this year. It's a move that the Stronach Group hopes will lead them to being medication-free in all of their greatest stakes races by next year. Kind of the first step in that direction. We'll see how it all pans out. But I'm going to talk to Dr. Jim Chiappetta about the Flair Strips and about the Lasix debate and medication-free. Are there other alternatives to race day medications? Maybe the Flair Strips. I don't know. We'll talk to Dr. Jim Chiappetta coming up 9 o'clock Eastern time. So a lot of things to get to. Again, this program kicks off with our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. That comes up next, talking about the Airdrie Stallions right here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
2019 champion General Sire Into Mischief, Spendthrift's first since Seattle Slough.
Coming down to the line, and Cole Feffi does it!
2019 champion Second Crop Sire Golden Sense, Into Mischief's best son and one of only eight sophomore sires ever to top $5.5 million in progeny earnings.
And they're running away! Mr. Money by Five!
One serious sire line in the making. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
With 24 individual winners, 4 stakes winners, and 11 stakes horses, champion-elect freshman sire American Pharoah has made a stunning start at stud. The 2015 Triple Crown champion is developing into a truly international sire, with winners in 6 different countries. American Pharoah also became the sire of the highest-priced horse sold anywhere in the world in 2019, when his yearling filly out of Leslie's Lady sold for $8.2 million at Keeneland September to Mandy Pope. With his book nearly full, hurry and call the team at Ashford to book your mare before it's too late.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
McCracken on the outside, gaining with every stride, and now colors the leader. Here's McCracken on the outside. McCracken remains unblemished and will take this Sam Davis.
Preservationist, top d'etat, Yoshida coming. A dramatic finish in the one word that will go to Preservationist.
Divisadero rallying from behind, but Beat Patrol has something left for the final 16th. Divisadero surges up alongside and surges to win it. Divisadero.
Summer Front on the outside, Nikki Sandcastle third. Summer Front, Tetradram fighting on the inside. Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
But well behind, collected. Javier Castellano rallies collected past the leader in the stretch to win the Lexington Stakes.
How about that for a stallion montage? The Airdrie stallions, well represented. 10 of them, as a matter of fact. There weren't 10 in that whole montage. Couldn't fit them all in. I wanted to have time for my next special guest, Cormac Brennick, here on the show. But boy, what a montage that was. And you think about the top performances by those stallions, and now exciting to see them in their second careers and see what they can do moving forward. Welcome back to the program, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Before I get to Cormac, though, I did forget to mention at the top of the show, going to do something different in our 8:35 segment this morning in about 20 minutes from right now. Going to open up the phone lines for about 15 minutes, and you can call, and I feel like giving stuff away today, so I'm going to give away an HRN cap. But here's what you have to do. It's going to be a little bit of a contest. in those 15 minutes, I'll take as many callers as I can. And all you have to do is tell me your best bet of the day. The one horse you think is going to win this afternoon. Can be any racetrack, any race. It doesn't matter. And if that horse wins, if you're right and that horse wins, you're going to cash because we're going to send you an HRN ball cap next week. So get ready, 8:35 Eastern. I'll do that. Have a little fun. I love to do that every once in a while in this program. Take your phone calls, and I'll give you that number here in just a little bit. Cormac is with me now, and Cormac, good morning, my friend.
Morning, Mike. Great to be back on your show.
Happy AFC Championship weekend.
I hope so.
A big Chiefs fan, so yeah, good luck to your Chiefs this weekend.
Thanks. It'll be fun.
I was shocked that you weren't at the game. You usually make the trip there.
I like to go, I really do, but you know, this time of year, is it's such a busy time for bookings, and we had an open house this past week, January sale. You know, it's tough to get away, but it's a great place to be is here.
How cool is it for you to walk into Airdrie and to look down that shed row and see all those outstanding stallions?
It's amazing. You know, we've been pretty aggressive in the last couple of years in stallion recruitment. So we have a very young roster and horses that really have a lot of blue sky ahead and horses that we're putting our shoulder behind with Governor Jones' Broodmare Band. And, you know, you've got to make them, and we're giving them every opportunity, the horses we believe in. So it's fun to be around them and to watch them develop, watch the foals arrive and grow up and sell all of those steps.
Tell me about some of those young up-and-comers.
So we have two new ones for this year, if we start there, in Preservationist and Divisidero. One of the things that we've been able to do in the last couple of years is bring in prominent and, in our opinion, the best sons of really good legacy stallions. So we have an Arch and a Kitten's Joy coming in this year. We had a City Zip and a Ghost Sapper arrive last year. And, you know, horses that don't have a ton of representation on those sire lines. So, you know, Preservationist is a beautiful horse, $485,000 yearling, purchased by Centennial. He was trained by Jimmy Jerkins. He's a big 16-2, stretchy, powerful, kind of a throwback kind of dirt horse. You know, he's got a lot of size and a lot of scope and a lot of bone and, you know, really has a lot of presence. So he's going down very well. He's got a beautiful female family. You know, he's got mares like Courtly D and Too Chic and all these superb blue hen mares and Weekend Surprise as fourth dams and across his pedigree. It's just, you know, a real blue blood pedigree. So bred by Emery Hamilton, his King Ranch female family is on top and bottom of his pedigree. So we're really impressed with him and the way he's settled in, the way he's been received.
For a big horse like that, and he is a big, strapping, good-looking horse, you mentioned his price as a yearling. When he has that kind of speed that he had, and he possessed great speed, and he could carry that speed a distance of ground, as we know, how important is that? Is that a critical factor when you're looking at selecting these stallions?
It absolutely is. Yeah. It's almost at the top of the list, really, because that brilliance is what I think, in my opinion, is sort of the limiting factor in breeding. You know, if you keep breeding horses without injecting speed back in, you're likely to just kind of eventually get slower and slower with time. That's my own personal take on it.
Yeah.
And he went 109-1, breaking his maiden, you know, in the wintertime at Aqueduct, which is not an easy track to do that kind of time at. And then he also went 159. So I think it's a pretty short list of horses that could clock those two times in big races.
And then you mentioned Divisidero, who is kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum from a racing perspective. He did his best running on the grass and was ultra impressive in so many of his starts. Tell me more about Divisidero.
Yeah, what stood out about him to us was his closing speed. You know, you look at the Trackus data and things from different races that he ran, he could absolutely fly. He came home in, you know, 22 and change, and then another 16th and 5.5. That type of closing kick. He threw in a 10-4 in one of his wins in the last eighth of a mile. He could really fly and you know, beat a lot of good horses like World Approval, Bala Bali, Beach Patrol, you know, some really top class turf horses. So he's a horse that stayed in training, retired sound. You know, he ran for 5 years. He was a graded winner every year on the track.
That's incredible.
That's incredible.
You talk about consistent, right?
Exactly.
Graded stakes winner every season.
Every season. And 29 starts, you know, earned $1.6 million. And, you know, what everyone talks about it, but there is a growth and a new respect for turf racing that's emerging here in the U.S. And his sire, Kitten's Joy, broke the mold, really. You know, and if there is a return to some more synthetic tracks as well, this is a stallion that could really, his progeny could really excel in that environment too.
Yeah, Divisidero, Preservationist, two new members of that Airdrie Stud roster. You can go to airdriestud.com to see the full list and to learn more about each of those and all the stallions standing at Airdrie Stud. How about Cairo Prince? Cairo Prince has just been remarkable, hasn't he?
We love him. He's the horse that makes us all look good, you know.
Makes you look smart, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, he does. You know, I've never known a horse that had two stud fee increases before he ever had a runner. Now that his runners are They've just turned four, his first crop. They were conceived at a $10,000 stud fee back in the day. They averaged 151 as yearlings. He was second on the first crop sire list, but he leads the second crop sires by stakes winners and graded winners. You know, he's had six stakes winners from that first crop alone. That 2016 crop, that ranks him right behind seven six-figure stallions.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So he's really achieving everything we would have hoped for. He had 22 two-year-old winners in his second crop. You know, the pipeline is just so full with quality that he's been able to, you know, receive in the mares and the support from inside and from outside breeders over every year of his career that, you know, it's just the only way is up.
Yeah, talk about the quality of his book that he gets each and every year now.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are plenty of examples all around town where it's very tough to maintain the support for stallions in the mm-hmm. middle years and the bubble years. He throws such a beautiful physical and such quality that he actually got better and better mares as he went through those bubble years, as we call them. So those crops now are the sort of the two-year-olds and the yearlings. The yearlings are the first crop that he conceived at $25,000 stud fee, the yearlings of 2020.
Yep.
And this is his third year in a row at $25,000. And it's very rare to get a stallion to achieve stud fee increases and maintain the mare numbers and get increased quality as you go. So, you know, and he's already shown he's a very good stallion. He's got four graded winners and he's got three other stakes winners. It's particularly strong.
He was Kieran, right? Didn't Kieran train
yes.
him? Cairo Prince? Yeah,
he
that's
did.
What I thought.
For the late Harvey Clark, and then Godolphin bought in, and we're partners with them on him as a stallion now.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, Cairo Prince off to an unbelievable start at Airdrie Stud. You have McCracken there, too, and McCracken's a horse that I've always been partial to. Jude and I, I've told this story many times on the program, Jude and I participate in a fantasy horse racing league for the Triple Crown season, and we do that through the folks over at Churchill Downs, and you draft different horses just like a you would for a fantasy football draft.
Sure.
McCracken was our number one draft pick
yeah.
in the year that he was running as a three-year-old, and I just fell in love with him. I thought the horse was sensational.
He's an incredible horse, and you know what he offers on that sire line, and I, you know, with my previous job and history, I'm, you know, have a long history with Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper. This is the most precocious Ghost Sapper
yeah.
colt that there is, and he's the only graded stakes winning two-year-old son of Ghost Sapper that's now standing at stud. He was undefeated, you know, for a very patient trainer in Ian Wilkes, and his strategy when they win first time out and they kick on into stakes company and graded winners at two, you know that they're doing it, you know, because he's not pushing them down that road. They're taking him and the team, and so he's a homebred for the Whittams. He's a beautiful horse. He's got the balance and the quality of the sire line. I think he's going to throw, he's got foals arriving now, none yet, but any day. I think he's going to throw a very consistent type just in the mold of that sire line.
Boy, when you think about what that roster entails, and you touched on the pedigrees earlier, right? You're bringing in Sons of Arch and Kitten's Joy, and here's McCracken, a son of Ghost Zapper. And then the brilliance that they showed on the racetrack. When you can put those two together, nobody knows for sure in this game if a horse is going to hit as a stallion or not.
Right.
But you give yourself a pretty good shot when you bring in horses like that, don't you?
That's it. You know, you try to remove as many of the, mitigate the risk.
Yeah.
Try to condense all of that quality and all of those traits that you're talking about into one horse and price them right and keep the support coming. And, you know, that's the recipe. And if they're good, you'll know. You'll know pretty quick.
Who are some of the other stallions that when folks visit Airdrie, you say, look, don't miss seeing this horse? Who are a couple of the other ones?
We have other horses in the bubble years now. Two in particular that kind of come to mind when you ask that question. One is Upstart.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 101 two-year-olds in this crop. He really throws a consistent athletic type of individual. They averaged about 65,000 as yearlings, also as weanlings last year, the first crop. A lot of positive feedback, you know, at the sales when we unveiled those first foals, and then last year at the yearling sales, we really got consistent sort of, well, these, we like these upstarts kind of comments, you know, and people now have them as early training two-year-olds. We're getting very good feedback, which is to say they're training forwardly and doing what's asked of them and wanting to do more, which is all you can hope for right now in January. And then they're going to the sales that they were purchased for, the ones that are going to breeze up. So things seem to be on the right track. I think he's a real sleeper for the first year stallion
I would
standings
so.
This year. And then Summerfront is a horse that I particularly like. He was a brilliant turf horse with a great turn of foot. He's got a beautiful pedigree, but also one that lends itself to some dirt performance. And so a horse like Ete Indian is a spectacular physical. He pinhooked to the Arcana Breeze Up sale, was sold for about $250,000. Patrick Biancone brought him back. He won an allowance first time on the dirt at Gulfstream a couple of weeks back at an 86 buyer. He's going to the Holy Bull. He breezed in 123 the other day at Palm Meadows. I mean, he's a very, very talented horse. And, you know, we bred Summer to Remember, who's graded place. Speak to me of Summer as a stakes winner by him. You know, another horse, Summer Assault, won really impressively first time out of Tampa.
Yeah.
Last, you know, about a week ago. So he just keeps coming up with these nice runners at big tracks, and this, you know, hopefully he's got a very bright future.
Talking with Cormac Brennick of Airdrie Stud here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Stallion Spotlight segment brought to you by Red Brand Fence. American Freedom. You talk about pedigree. Here's a son of Pulpit and, you know, a horse that, to me, is one of those horses that's value-priced out of Airdrie. What's he stand for? 10,000 stands and nurses. I think he's great value.
I do too. And, you know, he sort of speaks to what you mentioned about trying to, you know, as they say, sort of check all the boxes of the requirements. He's a $500,000 yearling. He was from Pulpit's last crop. He's a big, strapping, strong 16-2 son. And he had that brilliance on the track. You know, he beat all of those good Triple Crown winners in the year that he was a 3-year-old. He finished ahead of Nyquist, Exaggerator, Connect, Creator. Both times he faced Gunrunner.
That's a pretty good
resume.
He could
really run. Yeah. He could really run, so we're very proud of him. He had a nice sale week this week in January. He had a $105,000 short yearling and another really good colt bring, $80,000. So, you know, people are sitting up and taking notice of him. Should be fun this summer at the sales.
Who do we miss? Collected?
Collected, oh yeah.
Yeah, did we talk about Collected yet? There's so many good ones. Yeah. It's like I'm just going down the list here, and I know we're going to miss one or two, and I'm trying not to, sure. But how about Collected?
Collected's a smashing horse. He stands for 17.5. We were very, very... inundated really with applications to him last year. He's filling up quickly again in his second year, which is a great sign because that's not always guaranteed. But his first foals are about to arrive. We have Believe You Can, our probably best broodmare in foal to him, as is her own dam, El Fasto, both expecting collected foals this spring. So Believe You Can should be foaling here, touch wood, in the next week or so.
Wow, how exciting is that?
It's what it's all about.
It is. Yeah. This is a cool time of year, right? You start to see those babies start getting ready to come, and it is nerve-wracking, right?
It is. I mean, her Warfront colt this past September brought $2.9 million and was as good a foal or yearling as we've ever raised. And, you know, to see what Collected can throw out of her is, you know, it's the ultimate puzzle, right? It's,
you know, I have always held Brett and Brereton and the entire team at Airdrie in very high regard, and From the first time I went out there, we used to do this program from the farms when we were doing our farm tours years and years ago. And I can remember sitting down with Brett and his dad and going over the stallion roster like this. And we would spend more time on each stallion because we had more time to do the show then. And for you to go to work there every day and to be part of that family, what's that like?
That's the best part of it. You know, they have at least 2,500 acres of absolutely splendid Woodford County farmland. I mean, it's the best environment for horses to be raised.
Great deer hunting property, too, and they won't let me out
no,
there.
No, that's not going to happen.
Pin Oak wouldn't do it when Clifford came on. I couldn't get permission. Yeah. I can't get permission to hunt at Airdrie either.
Yeah, it's definitely where nature is nature. We leave them where they are. And
How cool is it, though, to be part of that family?
Well, it's a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. They're great people. They've been doing it right for a very long time. I'm hopefully just going to be a steward as long as I'm there and just try to keep things going the right way.
What are you most excited about when you look at the future of the Airdrie Stallions?
Well, you know, several of them because of the stage they're all at. Yeah. We have Include, who we didn't talk about. That's our sort of elder statesman, the evergreen horse. We've got Creative Cause, who's got just turned 6-year-olds. But beyond that, you know, Cairo's still a very young stallion and the rest are all younger again. So, you know, it's just fun to see how they each progress through the different stages, because there are a lot of hoops to jump through for every stallion. You know, there are a lot of people, you know, looking to be analytical and critical of what they're doing. So it's just really nice to see them clear hurdles and kick on and get better and better. And you don't really know who the next great one's going to be, but that's the fun of it.
I don't know if I've ever asked anybody this question, but tell me the process that you go through when you're looking to book mares to stallions. Is it just a matter of people seeing an ad or hearing it on radio, and they call you and they say, hey, I want to breed to this stallion? Or do you actively go out, like, say, a college basketball coach and have to go recruit a little bit?
It's a mixture. You know, we make calls based on results. You know, so we're trying to get mares that have produced good runners by our stallions back to those same stallions or another horse in a similar sire line, that type of thing. We had an open house all week during this January sale where we had a lot of traffic and people coming out and you know, Twitter blew up with photographs and that kind of thing. Yeah. So that generates the chatter and people thinking about your stallions that you need in order for the phone to ring. But it's, you know, at the sales, you're constantly talking to people. It's the people often that make the mares are important, but the breeders and how the horses and where the horses are going to be raised is a huge part. And we have a really loyal client base that like to breed with us. And that's the key, keeping them, you know, in the, you know, moving forward and keeping them in the fold and satisfied, and bringing in the right horses to satisfy them is a huge part of it.
No, keep it rolling. Cormac Brennick here on HRN, and Airdrie Stud is the place you can find him and the entire team. You can go to airdriestud.com to learn more about all of their stallions, and do pay them a visit. You will absolutely love it. The property is beautiful, and the horses, as you just heard, simply spectacular. Cormac, really appreciate the visit, my
friend.
Thank
you, Mike.
Good luck
to
your Chiefs.
I hope so. Thanks.
All right, time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When I come back after this, going to spend the next segment taking your phone calls. Want to know your best bet of the day, the one horse you think cannot lose today. Could be any race throughout the country. Could be any track. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to do that next, and then if you're right, we'll send you an HRN ball cap, so we'll have a little fun in the next segment for about 15 minutes. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
Quote, "He was a man, take him for all in all, we shall not look upon his like again. Let the autumn wind harp on the dropping leaves, her soft requiem over him. Let the winter's purest snow rest spotless on his grave. Let spring entwine her brightest garland for his tomb, and summer gilded with her mildest sunshine, and let him sleep embalmed in glory," unquote. The man being profiled in this piece was a personification of the American success story of rags to riches. No better example can be found in any field of human endeavor. His career as a breeder, developer, and master salesman of both standardbreds and thoroughbreds cuts a broad swath through the annals of racing history. For 11 consecutive years, he was the nation's leading owner and breeder of horses, winning races that were bred on his farm. He was born December 28, 1856, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and he was the oldest son of a family that came to these shores from Roscommon, Ireland, in the mid-18th century. As a youth, he, being the oldest son, had to learn to fend for himself very quickly, and as a result developed a marvelous physique while excelling in boxing, swimming, running, and jumping. In his later years, he became quite friendly with the likes of Bob Fitzsimmons and Gentleman Jim Corbett, and he was a sparring partner for the legendary John L. Sullivan. He had many early trials and triumphs while overcoming many obstacles and barriers before moving to Kentucky as still a young man with limited resources, to say the least. There, he purchased a few horses, and a legend in its own right was incepted. In time, he was involved in breeding, selling, and racing horses on a small tract of land along Winchester Pike in Lexington. This was the beginning of the building of a historic farm, which he named after a superb thoroughbred he raced in the late 1890s. That farm eventually spanning 2,000 acres of the beautiful bluegrass. He became a world-renowned breeder and stuck to his guns during the time when racing was in some jeopardy early in the 20th century. He was constantly encouraging young farmers to go into the breeding of thoroughbreds. Because of these activities and his virtually unbounded charity and philanthropy, his mark became very deeply emblazoned on the pages of the history of the thoroughbred world. He was a deep thinker indeed and an ardent student of bloodlines, and he coined the following phrases, quote, "No foot, no horse. Opinions die, records live." As to size of horses, well, many big turnips are indeed hollow. Frequently I hear of a horse being called a quitter, or that he stops. This is, after all, a recommendation for a horse, since it is our aim to breed very fast horses, and only very fast horses stop and quit. Five Kentucky Derby winners first found the light of day at his farm: Old Rosebud, Sir Barton, Paul Jones, Zev, and Flying Ebony. He also bred and raced the likes of Princess Doreen and Sir Martin. The latter in his time was the only American horse ever to start as the favorite in the English Derby. As you drive out of Lexington along Winchester Pike, there is a slight elevation that slopes to and faces that road from the farm. There's a plot of ground there enclosed by a stone wall shaped like a horseshoe, and there are buried Plaudit, Starshot, Ogden, and others aptly marked by gravestones, and a separate enclosure for Nancy Hanks, the famous mare, with a granite monument. The farm, Hamburg Place. The man, having been profiled, died in 1929 at the age of 72, but the legend lives on. he was truly a giant in his time and was known as the Wizard of the Turf. He was John E. Madden.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, Baron in the backstretch, now opening up the phone lines to take your phone calls, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Give me a call. Let me know the horse you feel is the best bet of the day. Can be any horse in any race at any track, and if that horse wins, then we'll send you an HRN ball cap early next week. But give me your selection for your best bet of the day, 888-966-HRRN, 888-966-4776. You've got about, about 12 minutes in this segment. We'll have a little fun, and we'll do it rapid fire. So give me a call and let me know your best bet of the day. Don't forget, too, you can sign up now for Blood Horse Daily and have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, race results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone. Updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both of those are free. Just go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. Yeah, Blood Horse, pretty darn good. I actually use it for a lot of the information that I use here on the show. Go to bloodhorse.com and check a lot of that information out, too.
888-966-4776, the number to call, and we'll get you on the line here in just a moment. And when you call, just make sure you give Lee your email address so I can get your information, and if you're right, we'll email you. And sounds good. All right, looks like we do have a caller on the line. Of course, Lee, I'll get on Skype so you can Skype it to me. But caller, go ahead. Who is this?
Hey, it's Vance. Mike, how you doing?
Vance, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing real good, buddy. Just kind of depressed. Our Steelers ain't in the playoffs this year.
It's killing me. It's killing me. But I guess for Cormack, I guess I got to cheer for the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
I would say that, or maybe go for San Fran. They haven't been there in a while.
Although I will say this, the Tennessee Titans did beat my two least favorite teams back-to-back, the Patriots and the Ravens. So that goes a long way for me.
They got a heck of a defense, don't they?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Who's the best bet of the day, Vance?
Well, I like Gulfstream Race 10. I'm going to go there with horse number 2, Curlin's Honor. Castellano gets on. I think he's a pretty good horse.
All right. What's the odds on Curlin's Honor? I didn't look it up. What's the odds on him?
9-2.
Okay. All right. That's
Mark
a good Cass price.
Mark Cass has got the favorite in that race, I believe.
All right. Curlin's Honor at Gulfstream Park.
That's right.
All right. Well, hopefully people don't kill the price on you now. Hopefully you get that 9-2.
I hope I get a little bit more and they load up on Mark Cassie's horse.
Yeah, there you go. Vance, appreciate the call, my friend. Good luck. And if you're right, we'll send you a ball cap next week.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Go Steelers.
All right. Go Steelers. 888-966-4776. The number to call, 888-966-HRRN. Let me know your top selection, the horse that cannot lose on this Saturday afternoon. And again, can be any racetrack, any race. It doesn't matter. Just going to have a little fun in this segment and try to give away some ball caps, too. So if you're right, we'll send you an HRN cap early next week. Yeah, you got the LeCompte today. That's the big Derby prep race, the only Derby points race coming up later this afternoon. So you've got the LeCompte. And it's a full field, 14 horses, pretty well-balanced field, too. Later in the program, I'm going to visit with Eddie Keneally, who will send out Scabbard, formerly known as Noose, and I'll talk to Mark Cassie, who has a couple of horses going to the post. He won it, of course, last year with War of Will, so I'll get a chance to talk to him coming up right around 9:40 Eastern time this morning. Another caller on the line, we'll get to them momentarily, having a few issues on the Skype side of things over here, Lee. So just let me know when you're ready to go, and we'll welcome our caller to the program here on the Equine Forum. Looks like we're set to go. Caller, go ahead. Who am I talking to?
I'm Hal from New York.
Hal, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Great show. I love it.
Oh, thanks, Hal.
I listen every Saturday.
Thank you.
My pick is Six Race Tampa Bay. Shelter Island, the number one horse, Chad Brown, can't lose.
I love it. If you got a farm, bet it. Two farms, bet them both.
Yeah.
Shelter Island. What's the morning line on Shelter Island?
9-5.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool, Shelter Island.
If you get 9-5, you'll be lucky, but it's a good possibility.
Is it a turf race?
Yes.
Okay.
A straight mile. He has Gallardo on him. I mean, all the percentages. I mean, it's Chad Brown. A lot of people think he runs horses at Tampa Bay that aren't that good, but it's just the opposite.
Yeah, you can't bet against Chad Brown anywhere.
You know, it's only a 22,000 purse, but this horse broke his maiden first time out. He put him in a stake race at Aqueduct, went to Memories.
Yeah.
Horse had a little bit of trouble, but I think he didn't like the yielding track, I think was the reason he didn't run that well. And that's why you might get good odds today.
All right, Hal, appreciate the insight and good luck. I hope you win. And if you do, we'll send you that cap early next week.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Hal in New York, 888-966-HRRN, the number to call. That's 888-966-4776. Let me know your mortal lock sure thing. If you got a farm, just bet it on this horse. If you got two farms, bet it both. Cannot lose. Go to the window. Run, don't walk. type of play. I want to know who it is for you coming up later this afternoon. And again, it can be any horse at any track. It doesn't matter. And if you win, we'll send you that HRN ball cap next week. Good day of racing, though. Really good day. I mean, that day at the... I talk about the LeCompte at the fairgrounds. But you had the Silver Bullet day for the three-year-old fillies. You had the big day at Gulfstream Park. And at Santa Anita, the Sunshine Millions races. Those were always a lot of fun. Another caller on the line. Let's get another selection here. Caller, go ahead. Who's this?
This is Joel from Indy.
Hey, Joel. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, just like that 10th race at Gulfstream. It seems to be real competitive. I know a gentleman earlier picked Curlin's Honor. I'm going to go with that 7, Nugs-O-Matic.
All right. Nugs-O-Matic.
Yeah, just looked like, you know, beat Tusk last week, who came right back to, back to win pretty handily in a fast time. So I'm going to give it a shot at probably a fair price.
Yeah, all right, good luck.
You got it.
All right, thanks, Joel. Thanks for calling. Yeah, just give me your selection. That's all you have to do. Call in. You got about, well, let's see, about 5 minutes left here, and then I have to get to another commercial break. But this is kind of a fun segment. We'll give back to you for tuning in each and every week to the Equine Forum, and just give me your best bet. It's your chance to sound like a real sharpie on the radio here this morning by picking the winner. And I'll tell you, I thought about trying to give out a pick and to see how I did against everybody, but trust me, I know I don't have much of a chance to pick a winner, so I'm going to let you do it for me and take notes on all the horses that you all select when you call into the program here this morning. So anyways, you've got big races at Gulfstream, big races at Santa Anita with the Sunshine Millions races. Laurel has a solid card. It's just one of those weekends here in the middle of January where you're starting to start thinking about Kentucky Derby more and more, but you're still focused on some of the other stuff coming up. You know, you've got the Eclipse Awards coming up on Thursday down at Gulfstream. You got the Pegasus World Cup Day. That'll be the big show next week. That's always a lot of fun. Again, our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern next Saturday, Sirius 219 XM 201, the same channels you're listening to now, and myself, Bobby Newman, and Dan Mason will bring you all that coverage coming up next Saturday afternoon. Of course, this show is going to be live from Gulfstream next Saturday morning from 8 to 10, so make sure you're locked into this program as well. Another caller, who am I speaking with?
Don.
Don, go right ahead.
Joe Don.
Oh, Joe Don.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Joe Don, yes, good to have you.
Yeah, you. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I liked Portrait in the 12th race at Fairgrounds.
Portrait in the 12th race at Fairgrounds. What's the morning line on Portrait, do you know?
You got L&J, Brad Cox, and Florent Giroux. You got to love the connection.
All right, awesome. What's the morning line? I didn't catch that.
2.
Okay, all right. We'll wish you good luck, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right. Joe Don in the Ville. Nice enough to weigh in on his top selection. Still got a couple more minutes. 888-966-4776. The number, 888-966-4776. The number to call and let me know your top selection coming up later this afternoon. Any track. So let's see. We've gotten Gulfstream. We've gotten a selection from Fairgrounds. We've gotten a selection from Tampa Bay. Who's next? 888-966-4776. You've got about 2 minutes left here before we get to our break. Coming up after that is our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. That's going to be a really neat segment. It goes back to our trainer talk show from this past week, which you can go back and listen to on our website, horseracingradio.net. Then Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Strips coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Eddie Keneally, 9:20 Eastern time. Mark Cassie, 9:40 Eastern. And our Calling All Three-Year-Old segment with Bobby Newman, which is presented by Spendthrift, comes your way just before the Mark Cassie interview. So a lot still to get to. We have plenty of three-year-old discussion coming up in the next little bit. Time for one more caller, and looks like we have him on the line now. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Joe. I'm calling from Texas.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, so my selection is of the Cox Stakes. I like the 9, Silver State, at 5-1 odds. Steve Asmussen with Winchell Farms.
There you go. It's a good call. The son of Hard Spun, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, good luck. I appreciate the phone call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Joe. All right, so, yeah, got to get to another break, but that was fun. That was a lot of fun. I hope that, but you know what? I hope that all five callers win, because I'd love to send out five caps. So if you win, you're going to get a cap, courtesy of HRN coming up next week. So good luck to everyone who took the time to call in. We should have had a couple of hours for that segment. That was kind of fun. We could have taken a bunch of phone calls. But time now for another break. When I come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week and then a very busy second half of the program. Stay with me on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainesway stallion Caraconti, a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 and 4/5, recording a 114 buyer speed figure. From the top Niarchos female family, his third dam is the hugely influential champion, Miesque. Caraconti was a precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and has already sired three first crop stakes winners and two additional stakes place two-year-olds, including Kenzai Warrior, the Group 3 winner, remains undefeated in three starts in England. And Caraconti has commercial appeal, with two-year-olds having sold to major stables for $150,000, $365,000, and $460,000. Caraconti has the performance, pedigree, and physical, and stands value priced at $10,000 at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes the favorite, Astern, and the colt is letting rip with a big run. Astern heads off Yankee Rose, then came Good Standing and Pending into the clear, but Astern, a big winner in the Golden Rose.
Darley Stallion, Astern. Wow, what a performance that was in the Grade 1 Golden Rose. He is rated the best ever winner of Australia's Grade 1 Golden Rose, and he is Medaglia d'Oro's highest rated colt ever, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Astern, Medaglia d'Oro's highest-rated son in the world on time form. Last week in Australia, Marie Yoshida of Winchester Farm went to $725,000 for a first-crop yearling colt by Astern at the Magic Millions Gold Coast Yearling Sale. Look for Astern's first Northern Hemisphere yearlings at the sales this year. And learn more about all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
The opening half mile in 43-4. Racehorse time, and two very good racehorses arrive at the top of the stretch, only a half length apart, but now Imperial Hint, as Castellano goes to the afterburners, and he leads now by 2.5. Diamond Oops, the danger on the outside, second. Back to third and lasting Legacy with an eighth of a mile to go. Diamond Oops up alongside Imperial Hint, who has to find a bit more. Lasting Legacy is third. XY Jet backed up. 16th to go. Diamond Oops for the lead. Diamond Oops for the win. Diamond Oops and Leparu, the winner of the Mr. Prospector. Lasting Legacy is up for second. Imperial Hint third. And Zenden finished fourth in 121-2.
Big effort from Diamond Oops and the Mr. Prospector. Pete Aiello had the call. Diamond Oops now being pointed toward next Saturday's Pegasus World Cup for trainer Patrick Biancone and his daughter, Andy Biancone, who took the time to visit with me
on our trainer talk show this past week, and she was fantastic. What a fun hour it was. She is doing such great work behind the scenes working with her father that I thought it was only appropriate that Andy Biancone be this week's Industry Star of the Week, this segment presented every week by our friend Stuart Morris, who, of course, offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. His success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales. Well, Andy, this is an excerpt from this Trainer Talk program. Again, she joined me for the full hour, but she started this little piece by talking about her upbringing and why training horses has become such an obsession.
Well, I've always been a huge daddy's girl. My dad is, honestly, even to this day, he's my hero. I love him so much. He always puts his horses first. He always does right by them. And, you know, that's just something I admired from a young age. And I've always loved the horses, you know, Saratoga Summers. And we were also, we obviously were at Santa Anita a lot of the time as well. So, I mean, I'd go to the, you know, my dad would pick me up from preschool and we'd go straight to the barn and I'd do barn chores. And, you know, so it's just really been, it's been a huge part of my life for, since I was a young kid. So,
so what'd your classmates think when you showed up with a racing form and a clock?
I mean, I've always been the weird horse girl, so they were just like, oh, there goes the weird horse girl with her, you know, so it's fine. I'm used to it.
Could you read the racing form in second grade?
You know, definitely would try to highlight things, random things, but I read it as best as I could.
Outside of, of course, your dad being a notable trainer and his success and following him growing up and watching his operation, why a horse trainer, though, Andy? Why not something maybe on the business side of the industry?
Well, there's something about waking up every day and, you know, getting to see your horses develop, you know, just the way they come in, they come onto the track when they're 2 years old and they're fat, hairy little babies, and then they run their first race or they have their first breeze and all of a sudden it just clicks and suddenly they understand what their purpose is, and to see them develop and grow into the athletes they're made to be is just, there's no better feeling than watching that transition and watching that development. And I think, you know, that's something I would really miss out on if I did something in the, on the business side or even on like the veterinary side, because, you know, I have kind of toyed with the idea of becoming a vet, but it's absolutely a labor of love. There's no, I mean, this job would be impossible if you didn't love horses. You know what I mean? It's the most fulfilling job in the world. It's not, I mean, it's not work to me. It's my life. Ask anybody. I'm here. I'm at the barn all day, like, you know, and it, does it take up a lot of my free time? Of course. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So it's all right. Fine by me.
What's your current role? I know you exercise some horses for your dad, but what's your current role in working with him?
So I'm his, I'm an exercise rider as well as his assistant. So I kind of just, I get on a couple horses in the morning and then I do more like assistant type jobs. Like I feed every day and, you know, I go to the races and I saddle horses. My dad and I kind of have like a little rotation going on. So like if he doesn't go down, I go down. Like if he doesn't go down to Gulfstream, I go and we switch off. And I'm also his traveling assistant. So if he has to send a horse to Keeneland or Belmont or wherever, like I go with them and I'll be the groom, the hot walker, the exercise rider, everything.
Do you ever give any thought to being a jockey?
You know, I did, of course. You know, I feel like every person who rides horses at some point has been like, I want to be a jockey. But you know what? I just love ice cream, and I could never, I don't think, I mean, I'd probably have to cut a leg off to make that weight, honestly.
Yeah, it's a commitment, isn't it?
For sure, yeah. And, you know, also, as I got more into training and everything, I just, there's something so special about getting to develop a bond and watch a group of horses develop. And I feel like as a jockey, you kind of miss out on that because you're almost freelancing, you know, you're getting on a bunch of different horses. And unfortunately, you know, you kind of miss out on seeing that day-to-day development. And that's really like, that's something that's really special to me. even more so than the ice cream.
That's Andy Biancone, our industry star of the week. She works, of course, with her dad, Patrick, and does a a great job galloping horses for him, being one of his primary assistants and learning from her father. And again, that full hour interview on our Trainer Talk show presented by Fasig Tipton is up on our website at horseracingradio.net. And if you were a little lost in the beginning when I asked her about going to school and having her classmates say things to her, what they thought about her showing up with a racing form and a clock, she actually did that. That was in the second grade. It was a career day, and she came to school with a racing form and a clock, and that was how she described what she wanted to do with her future, and she's making a go of it now. This is all she's ever wanted to do. She knew it from a very young age, and she is learning from Patrick and hoping to go out on her own at some point, probably in the not-too-distant future, I would imagine, once she gets a little more experience. But Andy Biancone, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Hour two coming up next. It kicks off with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. That's next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. He's a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One wheel. Looked impossible.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, on a cottage door. On the outside, Soul of the Manor. And here he is, the incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May. For those of you who may have some Derby fever, 105 days, now just 8 hours, 47 minutes, and 34 seconds until the Run for the Roses May 2nd. Of course, we will be there as your official radio home of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, once again doing that in partnership with our friends at Westwood One and NBC Sports Radio. So can't wait to bring you coverage of all three of those events here in 2020. It's going to be a fun several weeks there as we not only take you through the Triple Crown, but lead right up to the Triple Crown. And next Saturday, this show will be live from Gulfstream Park as I get ready for the Pegasus World Cup. I'll bring you that coverage coming up 4 to 6 Eastern, along with Bobby Newman and Dan Mason. We'll be positioned trackside at Gulfstream to bring you coverage of the Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup turf. You can go to horseracingradio.net to find more information on where you can tune in. And, of course, you can always listen worldwide through our website with our free live streaming. Mike Penna in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios and getting ready to kick off a busy second half of the show. If you missed any portion of the first half, head over to our website, check out the podcast. It'll be posted shortly after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning. Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Strips will join me momentarily. Eddie Keneally going to be here at 9:20 Eastern, and then trainer Mark Cassie at 9:40. So a lot of things to get to, and without further ado, we do welcome my good friend, Dr. Jim Chiappetta, the man who was the co-founder of Flair Equine Nasal Strips, the strips you see on so many horses racing all over the country and all over the world. Doc, good morning, and happy to have you on board.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Good to hear your voice,
I'm doing
it's
well.
A little bit light.
All right, we'll see if we can turn it up a little bit for you. You are, well, you know, maybe it's because you're sitting up in Minnesota, and it's probably, what, like 30 below?
No, it's beautiful. It's 23, blizzard-like conditions, and I hear it's sunny out, but that all exists somewhere above the clouds and the snow.
Well, listen, I appreciate you taking a little time here this morning. I mentioned I mentioned the Flair strips, and you and I have done many interviews on this program over the years talking about the strips, talking about the benefits and how they can help a horse breathe easier and even stay healthier. Next week when we go to the Pegasus World Cup, we're going to see something unprecedented. We're going to see that race and the Pegasus World Cup turf run completely medication-free. It's a move that the Stronach Group hopes will lead to seeing all of their greatest stakes races run medication-free by next year. So let me start here. From your perspective, pros, cons of running races medication-free?
Mike, you know, we've been watching this in the press and, you know, in the industry, and this isn't new, right? This has gone on since Lasix was first approved. You know, I think the cons are pretty obvious. If we're getting significant benefit from Lasix such that taking horses off Lasix is going to cause more race day bleeding, that's clearly a con. So if we see more bleeding from the nose, that's a problem. We don't need that. Horses don't need it. And you know, while we've got public perception issues, it could make public perception issues a lot worse. And if it sidelines horses, you know, filling race cards is a big deal. And if we have an issue there, then it's not good. I think on the flip side, though, bottom line is we've got a product, and it's a great product. It's horse racing. And we're competing for a new generation of people to come to the races. We're competing for a lot of sporting events out there, and we need those people. We need those people to be fans. We need them to be supporters. And perception is reality. And if the public perception is we're drugging horses to get them to run, then getting rid of Lasix probably is a good thing. I think from a management perspective, taking Lasix out is a good thing. I think the research we've done in this area is a bit disappointing. If you look at the way dollars have spent on research, we've spent more research on Lasix to figure out if it works on Monday, does it work the same on Tuesday, how about Friday, instead of stopping and thinking about, wait a minute, what's going on here? Let's look at the underlying cause and see if there's a better way to do it. And I think it's created a crutch for us that we've let things go. So I think we're going to see more research, better research. I think consistency in the rules for trainers when they go from one jurisdiction to another, everybody knows what the ground rules are. I think from the international perspective, this is an incredible international sport, but it has hiccups because the rules aren't the same around the globe. And if we can get some consistency, I think it's another factor that's going to help racing and more racing enthusiasts come around.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Doc, that comes up, and many horsemen will tell you this, I think the horsemen view Lasix as a therapeutic medication that is necessary, you know, for the horse, much like you would, say, an athlete who uses an inhaler, for example, if they have asthma. If that's the case, is eliminating Lasix in the best interest of a horse's health?
You know, that really depends on what all we're doing. And the reality is, Mike, we got to look at what Lasix is really doing. And my understanding is nobody is saying that we can't race on... I'm sorry, nobody is saying that Lasix is banned for everything. What they're saying is, on race day, don't use Lasix. But on other cases, you may. When we go to Europe, they do not race on Lasix. They sure as hell train on Lasix, though.
Yeah.
Lasix is a tool in the toolbox. And the thing I see is I think people isolate bleeding from race day from Lasix. And the reality is horses don't know, or at least their lungs don't know, if they're racing or if they're training. And so are we training them every day on Lasix? And if we're not, then maybe we've got an issue, because if you take all the amount of bleeding that happens in these animals during training and you add it up, it's probably more than happens on race day. We know that the more intense horses go, the more bleeding we're going to see. But cumulatively, training does it too. And so I think the bigger thing is, are we doing everything we can to manage bleeding? And so if we say, well, if we don't have Lasix, we can't do anything, I don't agree with that. I think Lasix is one tool. It's definitely not 100%. And if you look at the overall data out there, there's very little data that has ever been done to show that Lasix works on repeated occasion. We do one study, but we don't follow up time and time again. So I think the jury is still out on whether or not it's therapeutic in the long haul. We know on single samples you'll see a reduction in bleeding from Lasix, but overall we don't have any good population studies on repeated use of Lasix.
Is Lasix performance enhancing?
Of course it is.
That's always a big debate, right? Is it not, right? Does a horse run better because they're on Lasix as opposed to not being on Lasix? So yeah,
I think it is, and I think there's sufficient data out there, and there's really good reason why it is performance enhancing. I think what we have to do is figure out what's wrong with that, right? I mean, how many sports do you know of that you get blasted for improving performance? Nike, right? All their advertisement, improve your performance. We saw at the Olympics a few years ago some kicker skates, improving performance. For some reason in this industry, we tuck our head and say it's a dirty word because we don't have a good definition of it. And I've had this discussion with people so many times, and they usually run from it. So let's take a step back. I'm a veterinarian. Every veterinarian took a Hippocratic oath out there to take care of these horses, to improve their health. And if you improve their health, they are going to perform better. If you give them better feed, they are going to perform better. If you got better training methods, they are going to perform better. So I think the problem is we use this term performance enhancing. We got to be careful on what we're going to allow as performance enhancing and what we're not going to allow as performance enhancing and come up with a definition. I think we're in a bit of a quagmire of just saying it's performance enhancing and it's a drug. So yeah, as a general term, yeah, horses do seem to perform better. They perform better with horseshoes on. They perform better with flare strips on. You know, what do we mean by performance enhancing, and what's the issue there with it?
Yeah, it's interesting. It leads to some of the common misconceptions that have arisen in this Lasix debate, and that's certainly one that will be debated, the performance enhancing aspect of it. But what are some of the other misconceptions, Doc, that you have seen that have come up with this Lasix debate?
I think, you know, the debate is funny, and I think there's an old saying about opinions, but we won't go there on this show this morning. But you know, we've got a lot of misconceptions out there, and the thing we got to start with at the beginning is thoroughbred racing does not own exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage. Okay, it's a performance horse issue. It's a performance horse issue, and so we see exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage in other horses. We see it in three-day event horses. We see it in barrel horses. We see it in polo horses. It is an exertional issue. It's when we run horses intensively, we're going to see it. Something you don't see in the literature is, what about in a pasture? You know what? I went out and I polled a bunch of exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage experts on that, and while nobody has really done studies on it, the reality is, of course, if you work them hard enough, they're going to bleed. So thoroughbred racing doesn't own it, the disease, and so we've got to keep that in perspective and look at how other people have managed it. Another thing that we see seem to think is that it works on all horses. Lasix works on all horses all the time, and bar none. If you look at the data, Lasix works maybe 65% of the time at its best. If you scope horses three times, you're always going to find blood in there. And so what do we do to figure out if horses are bleeding? We use the endoscope, and that becomes the holy grail. The reality is we've never done a study that correlates to tell us that what you see in an endoscope is the same thing that's going on in the lungs. And so there are other ways to look at EIPH besides the endoscope, but the endoscope is the tool we use in the industry because it's easy and it's convenient, and you can do it without sedation. We've always done work with bronchiolar lavage at Flair to look at blood in the lungs. And that's not a perfect system either, because if you're not doing it correctly, you're going to get a biased sample. So when we talk about this, we talk about it in black and white terms, and it's really not. It's all over the board, and it depends on the horse. And when different horses get different doses and different size horses get the same doses, or horses that have been running on it for years get the same thing as a first-time Lasix, it's not standardized. We really don't know what we're giving any of these horses or what the impact is on them. Lasix doesn't stop bleeding. We've never found anything that stops bleeding. It reduces bleeding. It's just one tool for conditions that's caused by multiple things. And I know I've read that people are looking for the bleeding drug, the bleeding gene. And once we get the bleeding gene, we're going to breed it out of them. That's like finding the concussion gene. I think there are going to be certain genes that allow certain individuals to be more resistant to having the condition show its face or show its face as strongly. But any condition that's caused by multiple factors, airway pressure, vascular pressure, concussion forces, temperature, humidity, altitude, there's not going to be a silver bullet. So when we talk about it, like it's a binary thing, we're missing the mark on that one. And I think we have to be realistic where it comes from. There's not a single cause for bleeding, and therefore there's not going to be a single thing that helps it.
Yeah, interesting. Talking with Dr. Jim Chiappetta, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, talking about Lasix, the pros, the cons, some of the misconceptions out there with this Lasix debate. Doc, I have less than a minute before I have to get to my next commercial break. Eddie Keneally is coming up from Fairgrounds next to talk about the LeCount. But I'll ask you this. Do you ever see a time coming where we're going to have a cure for EIPH, for this bleeding disease?
Mike, I really don't. I think we're going to have better tools to manage it. I think we're going to look at it appropriately so we can keep the condition at its lowest level. But the horse was designed with a very thin membrane in its lung that's very fragile, and that's what allows the horse to be the athlete it is and move oxygen as quickly as it does. But as a result of that, it's fragile. And so what we have to do is look at managing it, but there are several factors that come together, so I don't believe we're ever going to see a day of a silver bullet. I believe there's a day we're going to get smarter on the tools we use to manage it appropriately for each horse. And that's where, you know, as caretakers of the horse, we have to be looking for is how do we manage it as we manage any athlete that subjects themselves to significant exercise. Injuries are going to come with it. And we're going to manage them by using as many tools as we can in our toolbox.
Now, Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Strips, like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send him a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And, of course, you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Doc, appreciate the visit and the insight, and appreciate you sharing your thoughts with me here this morning.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Dr. Jim Chiappetta. Again, you can go to flairstrips.com if you want to learn more about all of the great work that they're doing there on that side of things. Going to get to a break. Eddie Keneally coming up next. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Time time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire, Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Eclipse champion Blame. Ranked among the top stallions of his crop, Blame has sired over 50 stakes horses. His recent top performers include graded stakes winners Marley's Freedom, Mississippi, Ms. Bad Behavior, and the sensational two-year-olds Abscon, winner of the Grade 1 Natalma Stakes, and Shotsky, winner of the Grade 2 Remsa. In the auction ring, juveniles commanded prices up to $700,000. Outstanding value, outstanding results. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
With 24 individual winners, 4 stakes winners, and 11 stakes horses, champion-elect freshman sire American Pharoah has made a stunning start at stud. The 2015 Triple Crown champion is developing into a truly international sire, with winners in 6 different countries. American Pharoah also became the sire of the highest-priced horse sold anywhere in the world in 2019, when his yearling filly out of Leslie's Lady sold for $8.2 million at Keeneland September to Mandy Pope. With his book nearly full, hurry and call the team at Ashford to book your mare before it's too late.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Noose is set to strike right in behind, running in fourth for the top of the stretch. Deviant comes wide for the stretch, drive in fifth. Kowalski picks it up with a 5 or 6 wide bit off the turn. Top of the stretch, Elusive Doro still in front, crossing the moon, trying to hang tough. Here comes Deviant down the side of the track. Noose giving clear sailing up the rail. Kowalski on the far outside, 1 furlong to go. Noose finds a seam, and he takes off for the wire. Noose comes on through, takes over, and is gone. Noose streaks under the wire. The 3-length winner, Elusive Doro second, Kowalski and Deviant.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Pena, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. That was Travis Stone with the call of Noose breaking his maiden June 28th of last year at Churchill Downs. If you go look up Noose right now, you're not going to find him because his name has now changed to Scabbard. And as we know, he went on to finish second in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, third in the Grade 3 Iroquois, excuse me, second in the Iroquois, and then fourth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Scabbard, one of the horses set to go to the post and begin his three-year-old campaign later this afternoon in the LeCompte Stakes down at the fairgrounds for trainer Eddie Keneally. We are attempting to get in touch with Eddie, but I'm sure it's a busy morning for him, so hopefully we'll have him with us in the next couple of minutes to talk about Scabbard and getting started with this road to the Kentucky Derby. Corey Lannery is going to be aboard. Corey has ridden Scabbard in 3 of his 4 starts. Didn't ride him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That was Mike Smith, but he rode him in his maiden win and then in the Saratoga Special and the Iroquois. Scabbard 7-2 on the morning line, and the son of More Than Ready looks like he's going to be a major player as we make our way down the road to Louisville. But, you know, so much of it comes back to development with these young horses and how they mature.
mentally and physically from their two-year-old season to three. And for those of you that have listened to the show for a long time now, and I know there's so many of you out there, that time from the beginning of November to the middle of January, in terms of the development in a three-year-old's career, is huge. It doesn't sound like it's that much time, but for a racehorse, it is a lot of time. And we'll see how Scabbard comes back. Does he come back even better than he was as a two-year-old? Do the other two-year-olds that were behind him last year start to catch up? That's always the unknown. But Scabbard certainly has a lot of talent. And he's going to be, if not the horse to beat, certainly one of the horses to beat in that LeCompte Stakes. But that's a big field. 14 horses going to the post. Mark Cassie has a couple in there. I'm going to visit with Mark coming up in about 15 minutes. But, you know, Eddie Keneally, he knows how to get it done with a good horse. And Scabbard certainly appears to be a good horse. And Eddie is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I know it's a busy morning for him, so we won't keep him very long. But, Eddie, good morning. Appreciate the time.
Mike, how are you today?
Things are good, my friend. Just kind of going through Scabbard here for our listeners, and I was walking through his campaign, his two-year-old campaign, and I mentioned the fact that time from November to the middle of January for a young horse, that time in their development can be very significant. So tell me about Scabbard. What have you seen from the Breeders' Cup to now?
You know, we gave him the month of November off the Breeders' Cup, and turned him out in Ocala, and that did him some good. He gained weight, and he actually grew a little bit, and he's already a good-sized horse. So he kind of continues to improve, physically grow. He grew, he gained weight, just a bigger, stronger version of what he was last year. But other than that, no real change. He's as training as nicely as he ever did, and we're very happy with him.
If you could put your finger, Eddie, on the one thing that Scabbard needs to improve upon in his three-year-old campaign, what would that one thing be?
Well, he won first time out, going three quarters. I mean, he came from dead last in his second start to be second, then a speed favoring track at Saratoga in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special. He ran really well in his third start when he was second to Dennis's Moment in the Iroquois, but he didn't have a great trip. And then he was fourth in the Breeders' Cup in his final race of the year on a track that he didn't care for. So he might need just a little bit of luck, and he could maybe go to a new level. None of his two-year-old races were bad. They were all good races. He showed up every time. He's a horse that tries hard. And gives it all, his all. And except for maybe a few circumstances, he could be a grade two and possibly a grade three winner.
You never want to get too far ahead, but you know, assuming that things go well today and Scabbard continues to progress, obviously the ultimate goal will be the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs if he can make it there. What's the key, Eddie, to preparing a young horse like this and getting them to mature and bringing them along so that they're ready for what they're going to face at Churchill if they make it there?
Well, most of it is out of your control. You got to have a horse that's talented enough, and if you don't have that, you can try all you want to get them there, but if they're not good enough, it doesn't matter. So with this particular horse, we're hoping that he's good enough. We hope that he improves with maturity and longer distance races as the year goes along. So you just try to put them in the right spots, and if you're good enough, they'll progress. And if they're not good enough, well, then there's always Plan B. So it's not the end of the world if these horses all don't make it to the Kentucky Derby. There's plenty other good races on the calendar, and we're not going to try to make something happen unless it happens on its own.
Have you ever trained a horse that came up with a new name after he broke his maiden?
I've heard of a horse that has had that happen to, and I've seen one or two over the years, but none of my horses. This horse is very unusual. The Jockey Club requested that we change his name, and That was that. And, yeah, just one of those things.
You know, that might not be a bad thing. I touched on this at the top of the show. You know, this the LeCompte Stakes is named after a horse who, I guess his claim to fame was he was the only horse ever to defeat the great Lexington when he was racing. Lexington was 6 of 7. Mm-hmm. LeCompte, the only horse to beat him. Lexington went on to become, you know, one of the breed-shaping stallions, champion sire in North America 16 times. Lexington did not right. start out with that name. He started out with the name of Darley, and then after a couple of starts was sold, and the new owners changed his name to Lexington. So you might want to start thinking about some, you know, getting in on some stallion seasons for Scabbard if history repeats itself.
Interesting. Well, you know, our horse has a stallion's pedigree. He's a very, very well-bred. If he can win the right races, he's certainly going to be a stallion down the road. But, you know, we need to start winning some graded races, and I think he certainly can. He's a very talented horse, and if he continues to improve, I think you could see him winning at the highest level.
Tell me about the relationship you have with owner and breeder Joe Sutton.
Well, I've trained for Joe for probably 15 years. I trained grade one winners, grade two winners for Joe. We had some very nice horses over the year. I trained this horse's mother, who also won her very first start, also at Churchill Downs. So we go way back, and Joe is a good guy to train horses for because he allows you to take care of the horse, and he doesn't tend to get in the way, and he allows you to make the decisions, and hopefully most of the time we make the right decisions with each horse. So it's a good relationship, and hopefully his goal is to win the Kentucky Derby. So hopefully we can help him in that area.
Talking with trainer Eddie Keneally on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, I know it's a busy morning. I won't keep you, but I'll ask you just for a quick word on the other horses you have in stakes races coming up today. You have another horse at Gulfstream, or at Fairgrounds, excuse me, Not a Prada Price, who goes in the Marie Krantz Memorial. And then you have Jace's Solitude going at Gulfstream Park in the Sunshine Millions Turf. So just tell me about those two horses for just a minute.
Right. Well, Not a Prada Price is going to scratch.
There you go.
So we've got Jay Solitude running in the Sunshine Millions for Florida Breds, going a mile and a 16th on the grass at Gulfstream today. And that's a horse that's going to have a good year. He's just now 4, and he hadn't run a bad race. He's a solid, solid horse. And, you know, we like him today. There's some solid horses in the race. It's a good race. But I think he'll run a big one.
He's Eddie Keneally. He knows how to train a good horse. He's been doing it for a very, very long time. And Eddie, really appreciate the visit here this morning. All the best with Scabbard. All the best with Jace's Solitude and all the horses that you saddle, not just this weekend, but moving forward, too. Good luck, my friend.
Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send Eddie a gift. Courtesy of Embrace the Race, it is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Mark Cassie's coming up in just a little bit, right around 9:40 Eastern time. Of course, our Calling All Three-Year-Old segment with Bobby Newman, presented by Spendthrift Farm, is on the other side of this commercial break. Look, Scabbard, you heard Eddie say that maybe he just needs a little luck here in his three-year-old campaign. He feels like he was maybe unlucky in a couple of those second-place finishes last time out and even in the Breeders' Cup. So I thought that was interesting. When I asked him the one thing that Scabbard would need to improve upon from his two-year-old to his three-year-old season, it wasn't a mental thing. It wasn't physically, because he said he did grow a little bit with his time off after the Breeders' Cup. But he said maybe just luck. Maybe he just needs a little bit of luck. And if he can get that, hey, 7-2 on the morning line in the LeCompte today, take that first step toward Churchill Downs. If he can get a little bit of luck, he could be very, very tough in his three-year-old season. All right, Mark Cassie comes up next. Stay with me right here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Gio Ponti, a 3-time Eclipse Award winner.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Champion older male.
The champion.
Gio Ponti to take the Shadwell Turf Mile for Ramon Dominguez.
And two-time champion male turf horse with career earnings over $6 million.
Final 16th of the Shadwell Turf Mile, Gio Ponti. Wise Dan charging after Get Stormy. Gio Ponti from the outside. How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle.
In 2019, Gio Ponti is the sire of 10 stakes horses and 7 stakes winners from 5.5 furlongs to 12 furlongs, including Grade 2 winner America's Tale, Grade 3 winner Gucci Factor, and stakes winners Long Runner, Dubini, Giovanna Blues, and Olympic Runner. In addition, Gio Ponti has produced champion sprinter and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong and million-dollar Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Join us for California Cup Day this Saturday at Santa Anita, as we'll have 5 stakes for Calbreds, highlighted by the $200,000 Cal Cub Derby, the $200,000 Cal Cub Oaks, and the $200,000 Unusual Heat Turf Classic. Don't forget, we've got free infield general admission and parking each weekend via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. First post time Saturday through Monday is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Adina Springs bred, raced, and developed Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper into important stallions. Now comes Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, bred, raced, and backed by the strength of Adina. A Hall of Fame runner like his sire and grandsire, Shaman Ghost captured the classic Queen's Plate at 3 en route to his Sovereign Award Championship.
And Shaman Ghost takes the Queen's Plate!
At ages 4 and 5, Shaman Ghost made cross-country history as the only horse in the past 30 years to capture both the Woodward Stakes and Santa Anita Handicap.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile!
Shaman Ghost would go on to earn over $3.8 million with repeated success at the highest level. Additional graded wins include the Grade 2 Brooklyn Invitational, the Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special, before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome, went second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, standing at Adina Springs, Kentucky. Look for his fantastic first yearlings at the sales in 2020.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's War of Wills and Maniwa now going for the quarter pole. Hog Creek Tussle is wide, then Chase the Ghost. Tight 10 is next from Night Ops as they come for home. Then Boyland End, most speed is last of 12. They're homeward bound. Three quarters in 1 minute 14.63 seconds. It's War of Will, who's taken charge in the final fairgrounds furlong for Tyler Gaffalione. Pull clear from Maniwa. Hog Creek Hustle is staying on. Pluska Parfait between horses. They're close to home. It's War of Will. Runs out impressively in the LeCompte, 1-4. Hog Creek Hustle was second. Manning Wall third. Wicked Indeed next across from Pluska Parfait and Chase the Ghost.
Eventual Preakness Stakes winner War of Will picking up his first, well, the first win in the LeCompte Stakes for Mark Cassie last year. That was John Dooley with the call. And Mark is back looking for two in a row. He sends out Enforceable and Lynn's Map later this afternoon in that LeCompte. And we're going to visit with Mark coming up in just a few moments. But I'm curious if either of those two horses gets a mention in this week's version of Calling All Three-Year-Olds.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Hi, this is Bobby Newman with this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift Farm. Some talented three-year-olds strutted their stuff last weekend. The Tom Amos trainee No Parole outsprinted Louisiana-bred allowance foes by over 13 lengths at Fairgrounds and should be stretching out in a stake next out. At Gulfstream Park, Caracaro looked awesome blitzing maiden foes at a mile, and the owner supposedly turned down $1 million for him after the race. He needs Derby points, so look for him possibly in the Holy Bull at Gulfstream on February 1st. Things really heat up this week with the LeCompte Stakes at Fairgrounds later today. Multiple graded stakes play Scabbard makes his 2020 debut and takes on talented up-and-comers Silver State, Sycamore Run, Lynn's Map, and Mr. Monomoy. 10 important Derby points go to the winner. Earlier in the card, $2 million purchase Chestertown takes on allowance foes, including the talented Into Mischief colt Digital. Look for the winner to try Stakes Company in his next start. Then Friday is opening day at Oaklawn Park with the Smarty Jones Stakes taking center stage. 10 Derby points go to the winner. Expect to see Three Technique, Answer In, Shoplifted, and Silver Prospector in action. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
2019 champion General Sire Into Mischief, Spendthrift's first since Seattle Slough.
Coming down to the line, and Covfefe does it!
2019 champion Second Crop Sire Golden Sense, Into Mischief's best son and one of only eight sophomore sires ever to top $5.5 million in progeny earnings.
And they're running away, Mr. Money by Five!
One serious sire line in the making. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one is Independence Hall, undefeated 3-for-3 in his career, currently in training at Tampa Bay Downs, possible for the Sam F. Davis on February 8th or the Risen Star at Fairgrounds on February 15th. Number two remains Maxfield. We haven't seen him since he had to scratch from the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in November. Should resume training in Florida this month. Number three, Thousand Words, winner of the Los Al Futurity in his last start. Should be seeing at Santa Anita next time, either February 1st in the Robert F. Lewis or March 7th in the San Felipe. Number four, Dennis's Moment, the beaten favorite in last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's training in South Florida, and we should see him February 29th in the Fountain of Youth. And number five is Authentic. He's undefeated in his brief career, 2-for-2 right now. We'll see him either March 7th in the San Felipe at Santa Anita or March 14th at Oaklawn Park in the Rebel. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Yeah, calling all three-year-olds, and when you talk about the three-year-olds this weekend, all eyes on the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and Mark Cassie is going to be a very, very busy man. He has horses entered there. He has horses entered at Gulfstream Park, and as you might expect, he's prominent in so many major stakes races. Mark is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, appreciate the visit and the time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Now we just got to win a few.
Yeah, now you just got to get things rolling. I mean, you're pretty good at that, though.
Sometimes. It's been a little slow so far this year, but it's early.
It's early. So for a trainer, when you go through a little stretch like this, you said it's slow. You know things will pick up eventually, but how do you keep the faith? How do you keep the same approach and everything?
Well, you just know that it's worked. And so... you know, you just keep doing the same thing you've always done. So much of it is just sometimes you go through cycles and things work right. Sometimes I can look at a condition book a lot of times and tell you how we're going to do. Sometimes, you know, you have races that fit your horses better than others. You just continue. David Carroll and I have talked about this many times, and that is you just keep doing what you've been doing. We won 5 Breeders' Cups and 2 Classics, and so I think we know what we're doing. So we just keep doing the same thing.
Yeah, more than 2,800 victories in North America for trainer Mark Cassie. So yeah, I think you know what you're doing. Is it hard, Mark, not to start tweaking?
It's funny, Mike, though, I will tell you this. As many races as we won, all those when you do go through a little spell where you're not winning as much as you'd like, you know, you're still like, oh well, I want to win. It never changes, and it doesn't matter whether it's a $5,000 claiming race or a $500,000 claiming race. I don't like losing. Nobody does. There you go.
Well, hopefully things start picking up with the LeCompte Stakes later today, and all the stakes races at Gulfstream too, because you're well represented there. But let's focus on the 3-year olds and the LeCompte. And this is a race that you won for the first time last year with War of Will. We know it worked out okay for him. He went on and won the Preakness later in the season, and some people will say maybe he should have won the Kentucky Derby, but that's neither here nor there at this point. So tell me about the two horses you have this year. You have Lynn's Map, and then you have Enforceable, and I would say Lynn's Map probably the more highly regarded, at least in terms of the morning line.
Well, we just scratched him.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, and that was kind of the plan when he drew the 14-hole. It's nearly impossible to win anywhere from the 14-hole, but New Orleans is pretty tough to win from the 14-hole. So when that happened, when he drew outside there yesterday, we entered him in the Smarty Jones, and he's going to run next Friday at Oakland in the Smarty Jones.
Yeah, so that works out okay. It doesn't cost you a whole lot of time, right?
No, not at all. And the Smarty Jones, I think he's number 8 of 9, much more favorable post. And yeah, he's a very nice horse. He's done well so far. We're excited to have him, and you know, now he's taken one step. He took another step, and now's the big step that says, can you run with the better 3-year-olds in North America? And we're gonna have to wait a week to find out.
Is there something, Mark, that you look for in your newly turned 3-year-olds at this point in the season that you say, okay, they have that it factor, they have what it takes to be a factor moving down the road to the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you can look at horses and say, you know, can this one go forward? A lot of times it's pedigree. A lot of times it's physique and brains. So it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And more than anything, it takes a lot of luck. But definitely, by this time, you know, we're looking at horses that we think could, you know, go on. I would say that a year ago today, I still had big questions about Sir Winston.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure how good he was yet. And but War of Will, I was very confident. At this time last year, I think – I can remember doing an interview down for, I can't think of his name right now, but down in New Orleans, and he said, you know, what do you think of your chances today? And I said, I'd be surprised if he gets beat. And I don't say that very often, but I had just the utmost confidence in War of Will. We're not in the same, you know, we are not on the same page right now as we were a year ago. So we have Enforceable in today. Who Enforceable is one of the horses. He's got a humongous pedigree. He's a full brother to Mohamian. He's also a half brother to another really good horse. Who escapes me right now, but he's a horse we liked a lot, but he has just been extremely slow to come around. His last race was much better than it looks on paper. And David's extremely happy with the way he's trained up to this race. So, you know, we're expecting big things out of him today. If we don't see him today, then he's just not – I don't think he's good enough. So, we're looking for big things out of him today.
Are there a couple other 3-year-olds in the Cassie barn that people should keep an eye on as we move down this road?
I'm kind of short on my 3-year-old colts right now. One horse that I would tell you that – we worked him this morning. I'm in Miami today, and we worked him this morning. We bought a horse that recently broke his maiden. His name's Untitled. Broke his maiden at Gulfstream, ran a 98 buyer, 1/10. I'm excited about him. Breezed him this morning out of the gate. And I just like so many things about him. He's a big, tall, lanky colt with a great mind. And just lucky, you know, that we were able to get him, and now we need to have some luck with him. He's going to the Swale. We have two other colts that are running allowance races today, Strike Appeal and Race Driver. They're running at fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I would call them the B team. Hopefully after today, we could call one of them an A. We'll see.
Earlier, you mentioned the name of the Belmont winner from last year, Sir Winston. I saw that he had a breeze. Was it yesterday at Aqueduct? Is that right?
It was day before.
Day before, okay.
Day before.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
He did extremely well. We were very happy with him. The only issue, he pulled a shoe off during the work, and then he stepped on it. And he's been a little tender on it. We're currently soaking his foot and seeing. I would say he's 50-50. I'd sent him up to run him in the Jazzle, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And next weekend. Right now, I'd say we're 50-50 to run. We're going to see how his foot responds to that. And if not, we'll wait for the next one. My long-term plans for him is try to get him to Dubai, which I'm happy. He grew up a lot during his time off. He's a big, handsome horse now and training well. So I expect big things out of him. We'll see what happens here with his foot. I've just been on the phone with Jamie Begg, who is my main assistant there, who knows Sir Winston probably better than anybody. He helped prepare him for the Belmont, and so we're seeing he's soaking his foot as we speak.
What's going on with the Preakness winner? Is he going to race in 2020?
He is. He's doing well. I watched him train yesterday morning before I drove down to Miami. Looks great. He's grown up some. Right now, our feeling is that he's a grade one winner on the dirt. We're going to try to make him a grade one winner this year on the grass. So that's where we'll be focusing probably around March or April.
See, Mark, just when you think that maybe things aren't going the way you want them to early on in 2020, we sit here and we talk about your Preakness winner and your Belmont winner. So, you know, the cupboard's not bare.
Now, you know, sometimes you have to sit down and look back and reflect. And believe me, Mike, I'm not here crying astray. I'm just saying that you know we've been a little slow but I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not feeling sorry for myself.
Hey, I know you would never do that, and I know that eventually that things are going to start clicking again, and who knows, it may be this afternoon in the LeCompte. So, Mark, really appreciate the visit here this morning, and all the best, not only at Fairgrounds, but at Gulfstream and wherever you're running horses this weekend.
We've got Fairgrounds, we've got Miami, we've got Philly running at Tampa, and we're in the stake today in New York, so we're going to try to do something, some damage somewhere.
Yeah, let's get it rolling. Appreciate it, Mark.
Okay.
Good luck,
sounds
buddy.
Good.
Mark Cassie here on HRRN. Like all of our guests, he'll get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Time now for our monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon as I sit down with master distiller Brent Elliott. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. What do you remember about that day in 2005 when you first walked through the doors here at Four Roses?
You know, that's actually pretty funny because when I started, the week I started was the week of Bourbon Festival. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in that, but it's basically like the whole industry, and we're still producing in the background, but everyone kind of stops what they're doing, and it becomes, it's like the week where everybody comes to Kentucky just to learn to celebrate bourbon. So really not a lot of work gets done. It's all about showcasing to guests what we do. So like here, we host events on site. We're going to Bardstown to participate in events. It's just a lot of celebration and promotional type stuff. So that was the week I started.
Wow. Could you imagine at that time that you'd be sitting here 13 years later, which, let's face it, that's really not that long of a time, and sitting here as the master distiller of Four Roses?
No, yeah, I had no idea. I almost didn't take this job Actually, it was I was in Tennessee. I had just bought a house, just gotten married, and had a job. My wife had a job. And we came up and we took a tour of Woodford Reserve. We were just up here visiting family one weekend. And I'd grown up in Kentucky. I went to school at UK. So this has always been home. But I'd been living down there for about 7 years. And I thought, you know, I bet this industry needs chemists. I bet this is something I could do, which is my background. And I actually, that very weekend, I got home Sunday night, got online, and I found this job posted. And went back and forth, came up, interviewed, I was offered the job, and I couldn't decide whether to take it or not. Now, this is 2005. This is before the resurgence and the popularity of bourbon. The only reason I was really interested in it was just because it was an industry that, being from Kentucky, was near and dear to my heart. It was interesting, and it just sounded like something I could, a job that I could enjoy on many levels, not just a paycheck. It was something I could really get passionate about.
Were you a bourbon drinker at that time?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You were? Okay.
Yeah. But what's funny is the first time I tried Four Roses was on my way. I came up for the interview the night before, and on the way, you could only get it in Kentucky at the time. I bought a bottle on the way to the hotel the night before, and I tried it that night, the night before my interview for the first time. And that was probably as much a factor in my decision to take this job as anything. Just I fell in love with the bourbon. You know, again, this was before the boom in bourbon, but I knew that it was a fantastic product, and as a company, that we would do well because we were just now starting to come back to the United States, and which we have, but I never imagined it would be like this, and I certainly never imagined that I'd be the master distiller. You know, maybe, you know, people always say, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to make your mark? I'm like, you know, I don't even consider that. You know, maybe someday I'm sure that, you know, I want to experiment just as anyone would, and other people around here feel the same way. You know, we'll branch out and try something different at some point. But right now, I think what's most important, what I'm most proud of, is maintaining the brand that so many others have worked to build up to get us to where we are now.
Brent, I really appreciate it. All of our listeners across the nation now know Brent Elliott and appreciate you spending a little time and us getting to know you here today.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm back to wrap this one up right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Franco win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last seven starts, including a 118 buyer as a three-year-old, the highest three-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
The championship meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park. Come and enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing, showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world, all while experiencing the best in VIP hospitality in South Florida. Make sure to book your experience for the Pegasus World Cup 2020 on Saturday, January 25th, blending entertainment, innovation, and thoroughbred horse racing like no other event of its kind. For more information on the championship meet or Pegasus World Cup, visit GulfstreamPark.com. That's GulfstreamPark.com.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mohaman, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3. A dazzling son of Tappan, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and Odor! Caraconti!
Gainesway Stallion Cara Conti, a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 4/5, recording a 1:14 buyer speed figure. From the top Niarchos female family, his third dam is the hugely influential champion, Miesque. Cara Conti was a precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and has already sired three first crop stakes winners and two additional stakes place two-year-olds, including Kenzai Warrior. The Group 3 winner remains undefeated in three starts in England. And Cara Conti has commercial appeal, with two-year-olds having sold to major stables for $150,000, $365,000, and $460,000. Cara Conti has the performance, pedigree, and physical, and stands value priced at $10,000 at Gainesway.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Quick wrap up with the show. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina. And thanks to Sean C. for all our social media. I'm out. Go Steelers.